We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We're back. Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
It is Ken and Curtis, but that is the unmistakable music, the intro song, the walk-up music of Robert Farnsworth Bradford. Wallingford Equipment, by the way, in Auburn, Mass.
Of course.
Fantastic outfit.
I know that, of course.
Does Auburn, Mass hate Alabama?
I don't know. They should.
They killed a tree.
That's the new Iron Bowl.
They did. That was a great Paul Feinbaum special. By the way, nobody more holier than thou than Paul Feinbaum. God.
Yeah, he's not one of your favorites.
No. Walking around here, too, these people, like, look at me and they're like, oh, who are you? They, like, stare at my media pass.
Well, this guy from Ireland has been unhappy with this all broadcast.
Why is that?
I don't know.
This guy walking around?
No, right down there. He's got the mic flag thing.
I mean, is there anyone looks more like a golf reporter than me right now?
No, I mean, you look like Francis Wemate's great-grandkid.
Listen, the scally cap and these knickers did not come cheap. Thank you, Ghoul's Distinctive Clothing.
Yeah. Always the best.
If one of these no-names wins, it'll be the Francis Wemet. Is there a perfect Francis Wemet story?
Well, I don't know if you know this. He lived off the 17th green, and he was a caddy.
Yeah, I've toured the house.
Yeah,
it is a wild scene. I had not been over here since I last visited Tom over at his house, but it is a wild scene, man.
By the way, why would a place like the Country Club celebrate the small man? They banned them from this building. Like, they're not even allowed within 100 miles of here. So why are they celebrating Francis Wemet?
I don't know. I like the scene. I like the fact anytime something new. Last golf tournament I had covered is a senior U.S. Open. You guys knew that. I didn't need to remind you.
The senior U.S. Open?
Yeah, over at Salem Country Club. I mean, that was like, listen.
How did you draw that assignment?
If it's free, it's for me.
Right. I mean, free. I'm going to bring home. I got a cookie for Jess, and I got free pretzels.
Are you kidding me? This is like gold. This is a gold mine for free food.
It's a rolled gold mine.
Oh. Not Fenway, though. I got to say, being over there early this week, I'm reminded that the massive
Well, I heard you guys talking about, like, no wonder reporters are so obese. And
yeah, well, that was Ken being rude.
But it's true. This is at least the food here is good for you. Some of it's good for you.
Well,
Fenway,
I love food.
It's a nonstop wave of donuts and this and that. Again, I know that everyone cares about this. Everyone much more cares about Rory McIlroy. He's be teeing off at the – what time is he going to be teeing off?
2-something.
Yeah, okay. Well, he's in second place. There you go. There's your first golf update from me.
I mean, I really believe that this is – it's the most relatable crowd I've ever been around. I grew up in Dover, and I feel out of place here. Think about that for a second. It is unbelievable. It's like it's not F you money. It's like F your kids money.
And I would like to say it's hyperbole what you're talking. It's not. It is unbelievable walking around here.
I mean, the U.S. Open came to town, and we spawned 2,000 Santos.
It's incredible to walk the course and just listen to other people's conversations.
It really is.
That is worth the price of a ticket.
I yelled Muffy, and 30 people turned around.
The words hedge and funds have been thrown around like water.
I know. They're laughing like, you people are still at the stock market.
I did see, I was walking in from the media shuttle. Literally the first person I saw. Was Boston Red Sox, member of the Boston Red Sox.
Ooh, yeah, who was it, Rich Gedman?
Getty was here?
Jackie Bradley Jr.
Oh, JBJ.
Like, Joe Castiglione immediately, like, got on the phone and wanted to know how Jackie was doing. Yes, because he's on Team Joe. Jackie's on Team Joe. By the way, did
who's the worst hitter, Story or JBJ?
They're both excellent hitters.
Okay.
By the way, did you see the picture I think Coop took on in the when Brock Holt came up to the booth last night?
With his young kid, Griffin.
Did you see Joe's face?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Was he happy? Oh, my goodness. That was crazy. That was awesome.
I mean, we need Joe and Will to calm down a little bit, you know.
They're on a run. Like, good times in Boston. And you guys, I heard you
closest
guys.
Closest to a championship, Red Sox?
Ooh. Now the Celtics are done?
I mean
do they count? Do they count?
No, I mean, they count, but they'd have to
the next to win? I mean, the Red Sox could win a championship this year.
Right, so closest to the title.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Bing. We're back to only two teams that could, right? I mean, nobody thinks the Patriots or the Bruins can in their next iteration.
That is accurate.
Is there a coach the Bruins could hire that would change their trajectory in any meaningful way?
Well, Torts.
Does coaching even matter in hockey?
Ooh, I got in trouble for saying that.
Of course it does. Absolutely. I
mean, really?
The change from... From,
then why are they so interchangeable?
Well, Claude got fired, and they went on a run.
If you have to rank the least important or the most important thing in terms of coaching and effect that they have on a team,
I used to think hockey
would be number four.
Yeah, I agree. Mm. I used to think football was number one, but I don't anymore.
You don't?
No, because of what Brady did in Tampa. He was basically the head coach.
Yeah, no, I still think it matters.
Yeah,
if you have a really crappy coach with a good quarterback –
If Mahomes was the head coach for that nut job in Detroit, what's his name? Dan Campbell.
Oh, Dan Campbell.
I still think that they're a playoff team easily. And I don't care who else is there. If Mahomes is there.
Yeah, but they're a playoff team, but still. I mean, I do think that coaching matters the most in football. I do think so. With basketball, you have to have the stars, right? You have to have the two and a half to three stars.
But Ime was the biggest offseason change, and he was the most valuable player of the team, in my opinion.
Well, Tatum was the most valuable player of the team.
But Tatum was already here. Tatum played that way.
Ime Udoka could have been a great coach. If he doesn't have those players, it doesn't make a difference.
Right, but that was the biggest change this team went through, was that Tatum wanted their new head coach. He came in, and he unlocked Tatum to have his best year.
If Ime were here a couple years ago instead of Stevens coaching, maybe they're further ahead now than they are.
Ooh.
So it's still Brad's fault.
Yep.
I think you can blame Brad today.
I actually blame Rick Pitino still.
Now, Brad, we're talking through the glass here. You think Tatum is Paul Pierce?
Oh, I surfaced this analogy back in, I don't know, a couple months ago. And now as I sit here, I hear you guys talking about excellent conversation. I enjoyed it driving in. But I'm just screaming at the rate. Like, it is true. Like, this is – you get – and, Chris, I understand your frustration with Tatum.
Yep.
And how this is like your – I forget the term you kept using, like you feel slighted or jaded or jumping ship or something like that.
I think I said foundation was shaken.
Yes, thank you. Foundation has been shaken.
I get a word, and it's I got to use it. There's not a lot in my brain.
The T-shirts are already being printed.
Got it.
So, but I think that when you look at where Tatum is, I just keep coming back to where Pierce was at almost the exact same age, which was – he was a really, really good player. He was almost, I think, along the lines of what Tatum is. But also just the mentality. I covered early on in Pierce's career when they inexplicably made him captain along with Antoine Walker.
Yep.
He was not ready to be a captain. Like, he would, for a bad game, like, Antoine would stick around. Tatum was out the back door. He would not answer the questions. And then he went on along. And remember, he put the athletic tape on his face in the press conference. So Pierce was a really, really good player, was just missing a few things here and there. And then by the time they got these other guys, Pierce had matured not only as a player on the court but off the court. I just feel like if you give, like, and I know that people don't want to wait around 3 years, but if you go 3 years, that's the guy you're going to get, the Pierce when they won the championship when it comes to Tatum. I just look at those two guys, and I see so many similarities in terms of the way what it's just missing from their complete package.
I would say that Jason Tatum is more talented than Paul Pierce. And
overall, well, right now.
Wow.
Well, no, I mean, well, Pierce.
Pierce is like top 30 on a lot of lists, right?
Pierce is maybe the best scorer in the history of the Celtics.
Okay. I think Jason Tatum, I was there. I mean, wasn't covering it. I was watching it while having a couple of cocktails. And I remember vividly.
He was number 34.
I think it was a conference final game against the Nets at the Garden, 2001, 2002-ish.
They came back from 20, yes.
And Pierce put that team on his back. The building was that was that's not the Tatum I see. He's not an outward, emotive kind of leader
the
way Paul Pierce is.
That's what I was trying to say to you. I feel like Pierce was much more the alpha personality right away.
We had the shake. We had the what was it called? The Antoine jiggle.
We didn't have, but
Pierce was the emotive guy.
Could you simulate that again? Please?
I did. I just
a Twitch stream going.
It's an NFT.
It looked like that kid from the Goonies.
The truffle shuffle.
I didn't see the Goonies.
You never saw the Goonies?
No.
See. I think it's revisionist history when it comes to Tatum, and revisionist history. I mean, the last couple of weeks, because when Tatum's rolling and Tatum carries a team. It's not that all dissimilar from what Pierce was. Yeah, he didn't jump up on the table.
But that's what we're talking about.
What, jumping up on the
table?
Yeah,
that whole, the emotive, the leader, the guy that's...
Well, it was a couple weeks ago, that was Tatum. He wasn't jumping on the table, but he was the guy that everyone was celebrating. He was celebrating. He was showing emotion, all of that.
Right, so that never really disappeared for Paul. Why does it disappear for Tatum?
It did disappear for Paul when they were getting waxed the next couple of games.
But they weren't getting waxed. They were winning by 6 in the fourth quarter of the NBA Finals at home.
Well, who?
The Celtics. Pierce? The Celtics. We were saying Pierce didn't do that when he was getting waxed.
Oh,
the
Celtics weren't getting waxed. If you want to use that Nets series as an example of Paul Pierce and compare it to Tatum, it's a good one. Because, yeah, you had that moment at the Garden with Pierce jumping up on the table. You know what happened?
It was actually right in front of me. I was in the front row.
Yeah. I love you, Paul.
I said, Paul, hi.
Well, then they go to New Jersey. And the exact same thing happened. They were up in some of those games, and they fell apart. And Pierce was on the floor. So all I'm saying is that, yeah, it's fresh right now, but this happened to Paul Pierce too.
And he didn't win until he's 30.
Yeah.
He didn't win until he had KG, who was the guy that replaced him as the emotive leader.
And another thing that drives me nuts about like the whole, he doesn't do it. He doesn't do it the big time because he was in the finals. Well, there were moments leading up to the finals that got you there. Where they did do it in the big time.
So to go back to the phrase that you were frustrated I kept using, you are not shaken in the way you view the foundation of this team.
No, I'm discouraged because I think that especially after you go up 2-1 and you're everyone's
saying... No, not about that. I'm talking about in the way you see Tatum as a leader
of
this
team. No, I'm not. I mean,
so what happened? What the hell was that? That was the worst performance a big-time athlete in a championship series in the history of Boston.
If you want to give, like, excuses, the Ken Laird, like, tired and shoulder,
yes,
like, I do buy into some of that. But isn't everybody tired when you keep playing? At the same time, people don't want to hear this. It's the evolution of a superstar. Just like a year ago, we're talking about a Tatum in a completely different light than we were leading up to the finals. Yes, he did not do what Steph, and this is what hurts him too, is that Steph Curry, what you saw in Steph Curry, that's a transcendent player. He is a guy that is absolutely going to take it over. Like LeBron James, I'm not comparing Jason Tatum to LeBron James, but I heard you guys talk about LeBron James at the beginning, and I absolutely believe you're right, that the talent that he had with Cleveland early on wasn't even what Tatum had here. But LeBron James, when he did get to the finals, even with Kyrie, he was not what he ended up being in other finals. He wasn't. He was the guy that didn't want to take the big shot. Right. He was the guy who
passed
the ball.
But I would say he's still that guy.
No.
Yes, he is. He's still passive in big spots.
No. If you go back.
Kyrie.
LeBron James evolved into a really, really good finals player, whereas when he first started that process, was not. And he was getting criticized for it because he would have these wide-open shots to win the game, and he wouldn't take them. And it's the same sort of narrative. People don't want to hear this, but this is the evolution of Jason Tatum. This is the evolution of a superstar.
I know. I watched the evolution of Paul Pierce as you did, and as he was evolving, he was a different kind of leader than Tatum has shown in that same time.
He wasn't right. He wasn't a good leader. He was not. Just because he jumped up on the table and brought him back that one game doesn't make it like so in terms of every other series and every other game.
Bradfo, why do you think Marcus Smart is the verbal, in-your-face leader of the Celtics? Is it because that's what he wants, or is there a vacuum created by Jason Tatum that he's filling?
Void created. It's two different personalities. And I think that Tatum, he gets up there. You hear him talk. It's not like this fiery guy. And another great example. Thank you for leading me down this path.
I love it.
With Pierce, same thing. I just gave you the example where Pierce was named captain, and you couldn't find a guy who was further from being a captain in those first few years.
And but yet, I don't care who's I'm not talking about
that. But you're talking about, you said, like, you basically said Marcus Smart is the fiery guy. Why is he the fiery guy and Jason Tatum isn't? Well, just because, I say it again, just because Pierce jumped up on the table that one time doesn't
That wasn't one time. That's who he was.
No, it wasn't. He was not the guy who answered the questions.
He interacted with the crowd. He was a much more, I'm talking, I mean, I'm serious. He was a much more emotive player.
Sure.
You're right, Curtis.
Okay, sure. So when Tatum was rolling, what do you want him to? You're defining Jason Tatum about how he turns to the crowd.
Yeah, what happens in sports is we define you by how you play in your biggest moments.
Right, exactly. And if leading up to the finals, and if people don't like what happened in the finals, and I don't blame them because it's uncomfortable. But this leading up to the finals, you had a completely different image of Jason Tatum. Right? Correct.
I would say this from January until the playoffs, I had a different image
right,
of him.
Right.
Totally.
In the last week, everything in terms of Jason Tatum, about how he acts and how he carries himself and all of that went out the window just because of the last week and a half.
Right, because I saw in front of me on display how far away he was from what I thought he would be.
Right, and that's fine. I mean, in that instance, that is fine. But I'll go back to Paul Pierce. I can take series, and not even in the finals, certainly not in the finals, where Paul Pierce was the exact same way.
And I would say Tatum is ahead of – Barrett mentioned this to me, and he's right. I think Tatum now is ahead of where Pierce was. I think he's a – I don't even think he's Pierce. I think he's better than Pierce.
Well, again, Pierce was a college guy. I mean, Tatum's been in the league a lot more longer at the age of, what is he, 24 now?
Yeah. Right.
24 than
Tatum's
Pierce.
A more talented overall basketball player than Paul Pierce was.
Sure, overall, absolutely. But, I mean, you can't sleep on how good a scorer Pierce was. And by the time you got to the –
Texter says he was more clutch. I mean, that's obvious
right
now. Pierce, 401, Texter.
Yeah.
In terms of a shooter. Clutch shooter.
People are forgetting a week and a half ago how we were talking about Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum was a clutch shooter. The Golden State absolutely owned Jason Tatum. You got to give them a ton of credit.
Yeah.
And you can go down the other laundry list of excuses for him. That's fine.
But the purpose of athletics is that we judge you based on how you do. In this town, it's not about how far you get. It's about championship or not. And we just saw him pee down his leg in the most important game of the season.
So if you say that, if you're saying you just judge Paul
Pierce. Why did Grady Little get fired? He did a great job the whole year.
Thank you for supporting my argument, which is you just judged Paul Pierce off of this great comeback where you were standing like 2 feet away from him, and you're judging him for that for, I think it was a game two of the Eastern Conference Finals.
Right. It was an example of leadership in a big game.
So, what happened in the other big games?
That's why I think Tatum's ahead of him. He never won until he had KG, who took over that persona.
Right. So exactly. So that's what I'm saying, that it's fair to compare those two, that they had their ups and downs, and the up was him jumping on the table. And for Tatum, the up was a whole lot more, by the way, which I think leading up to the finals.
So were the Red Sox wrong to fire Grady Little? Were the Red Sox in 2003? They had a great season. I think they won 95 games.
They weren't wrong because it was a results business, and you found the right guy for that group.
He did a great job all year. It's just one game. It's just one pitching decision. Pedro?
You think that Grady Little was fired because of one game?
You don't?
No.
So you thought he was going to get fired win or lose?
If he won the World Series, he probably wouldn't have got fired.
So they had to win the World Series, not just beat the Yankees?
Probably.
Why is that?
Well,
I've heard people like McAdam who said he shouldn't have gotten fired even after the Pedro thing.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, is that everything led up to that point. That was the last straw.
But you're saying
the reason why Grady Little was fired. If Terry Francona was hired the next year,
we're way late. Can we put a pin in this?
No,
it's
on the podcast.
I love it, Brad Faux Show.
There you go.
All right. We got to get it to a training
update. Golf update.
Yes, we have a golf update. And Nick LaPan's got more.
And I have rolled gold.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long.
follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
All right, at the U.S. Open in Brookline, this is my turf, Curtis. You're not welcome here. Residents only, and quite frankly, it's just you're on thin ice here. So watch your behavior.
Judging by this town, you know, with every street has a Black Lives Matter sign, but then everything says residents only. Stay away, people. We don't want the riffraff on Brookline Ave.
It's the first time I ever saw Ken pop his collar.
I did. Yeah. Oh,
it is a lovely area. You know, if you want overpriced falafels.
We've been treated well here. We appreciate all the USGA staff and their hospitality. For the most part, Wiggy was a little on edge yesterday. I don't think he was thrilled to be here.
You know, it's bizarre because Wiggy is, as when it comes to topics, and he's nothing sticks to him. He can take anything. He's the greatest guy for this medium because he's got nothing hurts. He can go in any direction.
Yeah.
But when it comes to like remotes and events, he's sneaky high maintenance.
Yeah, he is.
Because we talked to Stacey, Rob, we did have a lunch with the Patriots this past week, very nice time, and Stacey James was there, and we asked, you know, give us some dirt. I said, hey, what was Wiggy like as a player, you know? And he's like, I'd love to say something to you, but he was such a kind, unassuming guy. And that's who he is. He's like that. But with this, he's like complaining he wanted a hotel room. I don't know. It's a very bizarre situation.
I get like the 30 for 30 on the night before the remotes.
Oh man! Well, I thankfully missed most of those. I'm in
Keene alone
Bay.
With the wheel of shots was something to behold. That was a night.
But that's what I don't understand. Like people often ask, you know, how are you able to be a raging alcoholic and work mornings? Well, ask Dino. But you know, you get drunk early in the day and then you pass out. Dino and I were the same thing. By 4 o'clock, we were asleep.
I wondered about golfers because there were reports that a lot of the PGA Tour guys were out and about in Boston like Tuesday night. You know, hitting the bottle a little bit, or at least partying, 2 days away from a major.
It's not like they have to run 40-yard.
I know. Most people drink while they golf.
Yeah, I know. That's a great point.
I know.
But I mean, like, what other sport do you drink while you play it?
That's only half the course now. That's only half.
But like
tour.
Even like if I played first base for the Red Sox, I could have a couple pops. What would happen? I mean, I have to go 4 feet to get a grounder.
But 2 days before a major, would you go out and like just get hammered?
Well, I'm not the right person to ask, but Right. You look at a lot of these guys. That is what stuck out to me yesterday walking the course, is that almost all of them are in great shape, whereas golf used to be, you know.
Colin Montgomery.
Right. Fuzzy Zeller and, you know, pant loads left and right. Jason, what was the guy?
John Daly.
Right. I mean, it's the it's a different world in that regard.
Yeah, there's a lot of George Scott polyester uncomfortable visuals.
Right. But going back to the road shows the night before, yesterday, after a regular week, if you're just in the studio, you're exhausted with the hours we keep, especially with NBA Finals games. Not saying it's tough. It's not hard. It's just you're tired. And the Greg, Courtney, and Santo were here from 10 until 5 or so, having drinks, walking around. At like noon, I felt like I didn't know where I was. I was so tired. And they're just pounding them. It's unbelievable.
Speaking of being tired, so we talked about this Tatum being, or the Celtics being tired and everything, and I'm going to link this in with Wiggy. I've never understood like what it's like to be tired because you're being pounded on by another huge body.
Where is this going?
stop tape. But when I played Wiggy, in basketball,
I was there.
Oh, yeah, you have my headsets. No wonder I'm trying to. It's going to be like rough in your ears. Sorry, I'm adjusting you. Go ahead. Sorry about that.
Everybody, I have.
I'm like,
headset.
Why can't I hear here? And I got Rob's headset on. He's got mine, and I'm turning the dials as he's talking. It's got to be jacked up in your ears. Go ahead. Sorry.
Anyway,
I apologize.
What? Okay, let's get
wait.
Back.
What's Ken's title? Like, what's
well, this
going
is the
on?
Problem. I've got to run the show while you guys are talking.
Okay.
I should have interrupted you.
So, probably the greatest event in WEI history, the me versus Wiggy basketball, where you had national anthem, Keith and Mutt doing the play-by-play. You were there. Yep. Reamer was. Everyone was there. It was a
Did
big
you
event.
Mention who the referee was?
Emerson Lotsia.
Huge
spot. Who's blown up probably because he was reffing that game.
What a nice guy. I like him.
And I didn't know until after the fact that Zarbano told him not to call any fouls. And Wiggy put me in the wall. Like,
oh, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
He was paid off by
But so I'm thinking that I can, 400-pound Wiggy, I can like just dribble around and he'll get tired. But when you play against someone like that size, I was at the time I think I was actually running marathons. I was so exhausted from this guy like leaning on. I was hanging on his arm like a tree branch. I mean, I never played. I was exhausted, and like so when I hear people talk about you know like they wore down in the fourth quarter of Game Five, like I get that. Like I get that. That is
and
absolutely
they had no bench. There
yeah,
was,
I mean that happened when you're basically put on your heels from the get go, which they were, and then you have to like shorten the rotation and get back into it on the road. Yeah, but I totally buy into the fourth quarter that you're beaten down, much like I was with Wiggy.
So legit excuse.
And that's it. And that's the ball game. 11-1 your final.
That's 11-0. It's like the puck off the net, Tukaras style.
Play-by-play.
That should be a shutout.
Of the beating. What was worse, Curtis 2-for-30 from three or Wiggy 11-1 the final? One-on-one.
Well, I mean,
Ken's contractually obligated to mention that I went 2-for-30 once per show.
I love that.
I like to think that...
That was the birth of the star Evan Marinovsky, by the way. Carry on.
I like to think that my Wiggy basketball game was less about the actual event than more about the event as a whole. Like,
oh, yeah.
Leading up to it. And, again, like, it was...
crosstalk.
It was like kind of like Conor McGregor-Floyd Mayweather, right?
I would say that Conor McGregor-Floyd Mayweather was a little bit like Wiggy versus Brad Pitt.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So
he is in terrible shape, it seems like.
It's awesome that we have clips of that. Great job, Nick.
By the way, there are only two golfers to get us back to where we are. As Ken used to say, be where your feet are. Now he's doing 16 things at once. Grayson Murray and my guy Todd Snow from New Zealand are both... Oh, no, sorry, only one under, which is Grayson Murray. So
all right.
It's a very tough course right
now. Do you know down on the floor for the second time, it's emasculating mutt.
It was so good. It was so good. Do you tell me the first names of the two leaders.
Rory.
No, he's in second place.
Oh, Todd, because he's Johnny Damon's brother.
Todd Damon?
Yep. Nope. What's his first name?
Joey.
Oh, Colin Morikawa. Colin.
Joel.
There you go.
Joel.
Colin's got one of the – he's in first place.
Colin Morikawa and Joel. Colin and Joel.
Okay. I just want to get that clear for my update.
Great job. Now, we had left the discussion as to why Grady Little got fired.
Yes.
A heated debate, and I interrupted it.
It's okay.
Do we come to a conclusion?
Not really, but it's, 20 years ago.
Okay, but just to put a ribbon on that, you feel like that's Exhibit A?
No, I didn't bring up Grady Little.
Did. Curtis brought up, why did Grady Little get fired? He got fired because he couldn't get the job done. It worked out for the Red Sox.
Right. Like, we didn't sit around in 2018 following the 2017 football season and say, wow, Belichick did a great job getting this team to another Super Bowl. Look at the defensive performance in the fourth quarter. Look at what Brady did against Blake Bortles. They win that Jaguars game. Remarkable comeback. All we talked about was the fact that Butler didn't play because it's the biggest game and the biggest decision was that, and it screwed them. Just so you don't go backwards and talk about how good things were. That's not how things work here. You talk about Grady leaving Pedro in. You talk about, last year, I'm sure in New York, they weren't talking about the great year. They were talking about Nevin, the third base coach, and that call in the wild card game at Fenway, how they ended up there. You just react to the last thing you saw, especially when the last thing you saw was the stakes at its highest. And so we're not going to be talking about how he looked. That's already established. I don't think the vast majority of the people listening right now want to trade Jason Tatum. But the way I viewed him entering the NBA Finals and the way I view him now have changed. Because I didn't think he would come up small, not only on the court, but off of it and as a leader of this team. I was very disappointed by it.
It's surprising that you don't think they should make major changes. You believe they should run it back again, despite that feeling.
Well, I don't think it's an easy league to make major changes in, and I don't think you should make a change for change's sake. So I would say keep Tatum. He's one of three or four people on the planet that are as good as what he does.
But forget about Tatum. You think Smart even should come back. And last week you were pretty down on Smart.
Well, and I said that today. I was wrong. I don't think Smart does this because he's selfish. I think he does it partially because he's selfish, but also because he knows it's what the team needs, and there's a vacuum of leadership. There's a void that he's filling. And maybe as Tatum grows, that void will not be as necessary to be filled by Smart.
Biggest off seasons coming up. Celtics and Bruins now. Red Sox with all the contract stuff. Or Patriots next year. I mean, that's kind of hard to tell because it's too far
away.
Red
Sox.
Red Sox most pivotal offseason?
Yeah, I mean, you
not
have,
Celtics?
There's not, I can't
remember. Not the Celtics to make those final tweaks on the championship
team?
No,
because you could make the case where you have these, you have your most important guys signed up. I mean, that's where you have to start the conversation. And
well, not if they're one player away from winning a title. Then
well,
you
think
that, that
you think they're one player away, but after game three.
I do, but a lot of people don't.
Well, that's fine, but you're at least in a conversation. I heard
if everybody jumped off a bridge, would you, Ken?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that one of you guys might have said it, which is usually history suggests that if you make it to the finals, you're going to at least come close.
So they have the big three.
So, yeah.
Tatum, Brown, and Smart are the big three.
When I say the Red Sox.
If you put out a poll question. Do the Celtics have their big three?
All right. I mean,
who's the third?
How many say yes?
Nobody would say yes.
Who's the third?
No.
Derek White?
No, Smart. He's defensive
not a big
player
three.
Of the year.
Can we do a moratorium on defensive player of the year mentions? Every day it's all I hear from Greg and everyone. It's like, okay, he won an award. I thought the Celtics were about team.
But the point is he would be untouchable. If you feel like he is.
You need a third player. You need a third player that's not Derek White, that's not Marcus Smart.
So it's a huge offseason.
It's not a huge offseason because that third player isn't still going to be one of your top two players.
And Ken, didn't you celebrate the Patriots getting rid of their defensive player of the year?
Yeah, didn't you celebrate that? I remember having. I mean, I remember that party.
Yes, I think it was at Dave and Buster's.
I mean, you were handing out skee ball tickets like
Judon.
Nobody's business.
At one point this year, it might have been
Judon. That's right, everybody. We went from the boogeyman that disappeared to the defensive player Judon that disappeared.
All right, legitimate injury / fatigue. Judon with COVID or Tatum? who has a more legit excuse?
I forget how Ken's mind works. It's like literally from one list to another.
I love the list.
Well, Ken has totally abdicated the greatest team of all time talk. He's just put a kibosh. Everybody gets.
I got
10%.
A lot of run out of that. I was getting praised after game one, like you wouldn't believe.
Okay, that's so stupid to say that you were getting praise about a take that proved false.
All right,
well,
put a pin
hit a
in
wall.
This.
Were wrong, you renamed the take 16 times to fit the conversation.
In about 5 seconds, Ken's going to be like, wait, before we go on, Morikawa or Damon or Tom Kite, who had the best drive off the tee?
Who is most likely to get you in a pair of foot joys?
Better defensive player of the year, Steph Gilmore or Marcus Smart?
I go Smart.
Or Bergeron.
Ooh, I mean, the Selke, when are they going to rename it Bergeron? I mean, I find it to be almost offensive.
Let's go back to the original question: who has the biggest offseason?
Yes, and you say Red
it's
Sox.
Not even close. Yeah. For the
okay. I have an honest Sox. Question: okay. JD Martinez back or not?
No, I don't think he's back.
And
I
you
think
know
it's
what?
Be
I agree.
A huge mistake.
Oh no, I think they're right. Martinez is a
he's
performer,
peaked.
Not a competitor. We got into that earlier.
He's a champion.
What are you talking about?
He's all about the stats.
No,
he's all about flicking
like,
it in.
Here's the thing,
single.
And I know that you've watched a ton of Red Sox games.
I mean, I'm almost tired of it.
This is like Pierce jumping up on the table talk. Nobody runs out balls to first better than him. Like,
right, because he wants to hit for his stats.
Well, that's what baseball is.
I know, and
was
I'm saying
Steve Pierce
a
performer or a competitor?
No, World Series MVP. They don't win without that guy. I thought it was David Price. I thought he should have been the World
that's
Series
what
MVP.
I thought. Yeah.
So anyway, they have you.
If you want to talk 90s Sox, I'll kick your ass.
Yeah,
Mike Greenwald,
Joe Hasketh,
Bruno.
I slept on the sidewalk for tickets after Bruno's catch.
I mean, I remember
where I was.
I was in the living room in Dover. I saw it. Sean McDonough with a brilliant call right around the corner. You couldn't see if he caught it. Went to Bubbling Brook that night.
Actually, I think you're the one who was stepping over me when I was sleeping on the sidewalk.
I was. Yeah. Well, my dad said it's okay. We're staying at the Ritz.
You're not going to find a lot of off seasons where you have the main people, so many guys on one team whose contracts are basically up than the Red Sox heading into.
But isn't that sort of on purpose?
No, I don't think it's on purpose. I think if they could have signed Bogarts and Devers and
well, if they'd offer them what the market value was, they'd be signed.
Right, but sure, but they don't feel like that the market value is.
Well, they look pretty dumb right now.
Different in their eyes. Yeah, I don't disagree. I've said this all along. I mean, you got to put your best foot forward. That's what they did with Mookie. I mean, and people.
What did you think of Haim's reaction to the.
Nice question.
Yeah, well, I got it from a brilliant guy named Rob.
I think he was very. Because I had talked to him the day before.
Very diplomatic.
No, I thought he was very actually relieved and happy that Mookie had that reaction to him.
Yeah.
Like he told me that he's never met Mookie like face to face. So he came in and he had to deal with the whole Mookie stuff. And when Mookie said, you know, I'm happy that, you know, I was happy with how they handled it and everything else. But to come back to like the Mookie conversation endeavors, you have to put your best foot forward and you have to figure out
Are you going to be able to sign that guy? Because if you aren't, Devers lines up perfectly with Mookie, and you get to January. If you don't think you're going to be able to sign Devers, then you have to do the same thing you did with Mookie, unless ownership says, no, we have to go another year because we have too many little kids wearing the Devers shirts.
One thing about Mookie before you leave, coming up next, because it got overshadowed by the Celtics run, you're reporting your interview with Mookie. I want the truth from Rob, whether you actually believe what Mookie told you, okay, before we get out of here. Fitzy and Hart are going to be at the Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio. Fitzy is now locked out of the studio. He sent a very disturbing picture of him from outside the room there.
Yeah, I think I saw that face in the library on a wall.
But we will have Fitzy taking over at 1. And Bradfoe will be here with live updates from the Open throughout their entire show, plus your show at 4. So a big day here on EEI. Thanks to Mayomi, the official wine of the PGA Tour. We are at the 122nd U.S. Open on Ken and Curtis.
We're back. Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
All right, so Bradfoe did a tremendous job getting Mookie Betts. Hmm. What was it, 2 weeks ago now?
Week and a half ago.
By the way, Ken and Curtis, our final segment here from the U.S. Open for this Saturday. Bradfoe stays here all day. Dondero here tomorrow, 9 a.m. All weekend coverage.
I'm downloading the U.S. Open app as we speak.
Oh, yeah, streaming live on Peacock. Have you downloaded your Peacock app yet?
No,
I don't know what you're talking about. It's pretty
good.
I have
good. No idea.
Pretty good coverage.
I hit the wall at noon, and Bradford's been a shot of espresso.
Yeah, he has.
There you go.
Mookie's told you, first of all, the fact that he wanted to tell you so desperately that he wanted to stay in Boston. He wanted to get his message out. Were you surprised at that?
Well, when I showed up, you know, like I hadn't seen Mookie since he left, and I hadn't talked to him, and I didn't really realize that he hadn't really talked about this. So when I went in the clubhouse, I saw him, and he was very, very friendly. He's always been friendly when he was there. And I said, hey, can we talk in the dugout for a little bit? And so we went out and talked in the dugout, and, you know, and he dropped a couple times about his perception in Boston, which I kind of brought up, but not to the level that he was bringing it up. And it was clearly like this was on his mind. So, you know, I think that, I'm not saying paranoid isn't the right word, but certainly on his mind about how he's being perceived. And listen, I mean, it's been, two and a half years or whatever it has been. But you know, I think that for him, it's a big deal how he's perceived.
So this was fascinating to me. I thought it was a great conversation. You should go listen to it. Bradfoe Show at your app store, DEI.com. Why do these sort of false narratives, if you believe Mookie, exist? Is it the team doing back channeling with the media, saying Mookie never wanted to be here? We tried. He didn't want to do it. How did it happen? And B, why does it seem to happen so frequently with that organization?
Well, you know, it is a good question. I mean, where that came from, where the, like, Mookie didn't want to come back, he was never going to come back, that can come from a million different places. But the people who don't have any connections or talking to anybody who have that opinion, it's an easy narrative to have because – the one thing that Mookie did was a little bit off, which was, it's a business. How many times did you hear him say, it's a business? Like, no hard feelings, but I am treating this like a business. It's two different things, playing baseball, Boston, and it's a business. And I think that a lot of people took that as, well, if you're saying that, then you have no affinity to coming back to Boston. It's with Bogaerts, I think it's different. Like with Bogaerts, he kind of like, I want to come back.
He doesn't want to leave.
No, I don't think he wants to leave, and I think he's taken a little bit of back about like that they aren't valuing that a little bit more. Whereas Devers, I think he's probably taking more of the tact that Mookie's taking.
Yeah, and it's an odd. I don't know. Whenever we all learn it, but you believe in yourself and you do things, and you think that the company will be like, oh, good job. Here's X. You know, well done. That doesn't happen. Like, it just doesn't. No matter what field you're in, no matter how good or bad you are, depending on the level, you're either going to have to be a hard ass and take that risk, which is, like, Aaron Judge this year, phenomenal. I love seeing guys to believe in themselves and make the organization pay more money. Or you get the discount at accepting money before you become a free agent, and there's going to be a less fee for that. And I feel like the issue that some agents have, whether it's Boris, and I don't know who Mookie's agent was, but he's talking, Boris has been talking about Bogarts. Like, you don't get your market value before you reach the market. The market dictates that, and right now he can only sign with one team. So the whole business of it always makes little sense to me. Like, obviously the team's not going to pay $400 million right now for Xander Bogarts.
Well, the flip side of that is that if the team wants to not compete with other teams for their services and utilize their, as you say, the negotiating right of being the only one who can do it, then you do offer what you think is going to be the best deal. Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, it's they have every right to offer lower, right? Because, again, like, why not? Maybe they'll take it. But at the same time, once Xander Bogaerts gets to the open market, then all bets are off that you lose all those rights that you have. If you could have got Bogaerts just a little bit less than when he hits the open market, because it might only take one team, but go back to Mookie. You know, Mookie was business is a business. And the one thing that he said, and he said this before, was that first contract, that's the hard one, or the first contract offer, that's the one that's hard to turn down. Because you've never seen that much money. Right. And, you know, when in you're being offered $100 million, and you never could have ever imagined that.
That was Greg's deal at AAF.
No, exactly. I mean, think about when Greg turned that down 30 years ago.
What a mistake. Then Stiz came in.
But so Mookie said, you know, that was the first one. And his mom told him, say, hey, you know what? Don't get caught up in that. Treat it as a business. Bet on yourself. And he did. And
if I had $100 million, I wouldn't play baseball. I'd just go live in Aruba.
But bottom line, you believe Mookie that he would have stayed here if they had offered him the money.
Yeah, yeah. But so here's the thing. I do, to answer your question, I do believe that he wasn't averse to not to coming back.
Mutt, by the way, distinctly the opposite. Believes.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, it's Mutt's prerogative to be wrong.
Okay.
So, but it's with Mookie, when he was here and he was talking with the Red Sox, yeah, it was probably closer to $400 million. It was probably closer to Mike Trout money. So everyone says, well, he signed for $365 with the Dodgers. He didn't really mean it. No, the pandemic happened. Everyone was freaking out about the business of baseball and where the contracts are going. That's why that deal was hatched. Good for the Dodgers for taking advantage of it. But it was not the same landscape it was when they were negotiating with the Red Sox.
And final question. Aaron Judge, does he get north of $500 million?
Oh, no, 400.
400?
Yeah.
Is he the new highest paid guy at the conclusion of this season?
Nah, close. I mean, Trout's over 400. He's the only one over 400, right?
Yep.
What's Judge's age? I mean, that
30.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
I believe he's 30.
So. Because when Trout signs, if you have a guy, and this is why Devers is going to be so expensive. Because, I mean, this guy is going to hit free agency in, what, 2028?
Who is more talented in Boston right now?
Ooh, this is a Ken question.
Tatum or Devers? Not in Boston.
Who's the face of the city?
Not face, more Xander talented Bogart. At their job.
More talented.
Did I say Xander? I said Tatum or
No, I said
okay.
Xander.
Okay. What makes sure
Tatum or Devers?
Oh, boy.
It's Devers.
Tatum got further. He got to a final.
But that's not what we're talking about. Talent.
That's talent.
I mean, Devers did win a World Series.
Yeah, but he wasn't the driver.
And he made the ALCS.
Who's better, Steve Pierce or Tatum?
We'll leave it on that. Bradfo will be back at 4. He can deep dive in all
these. Actually, I'll be back in about 15 minutes.
Well, yes. Bradfo has reports the entire Fitzy and Hart show. Nick Fitzy-Stevens is in our Fenway Centerfield studios, our Ford Clubhouse Fenway studios. He'll be there. Andy Hart will join him as well. Nick LaPan produced it.
Thank you, Nick.
Great job, Curtis. Great to see you out here at the Country Club. A rare sight for you.
Excellent. I've been here 3 days.
No, I just be at a Country Club.
Oh, yeah.
Well, are you leaving or are you going to go mingle?
I got to go home. We're nesting.
Oh, yeah. There you
Big
go.
Time.
Congratulations.
Yep.
And,
take it down.
Keep it here on WEI for coverage all weekend. Thanks to Mayomi, the official wine of the PGA Tour. Fitzy and Hart next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.